Gina Pickwin, it is good to be speaking with you today. We have been working together on life-saving projects in Svat, but I'd like to dial it back a little bit and hear your story. What are you doing in Svat? Who are you? And why are you so vocal about making sure that especially the children in Svat are getting the protection that they need from rocket attacks?
Well, thanks so much for having me here today, Shmuel, and it's great to be working with you. So my main job is I'm a mother of seven. And in addition to that, in all my spare time, I'm also a very involved community volunteer. My friend Clara and I co-founded a nonprofit called Sparks to Life 5 years ago. And I've participated in the local elections and done a lot of community organizing. I actually worked in the municipality of Svat about 6 years ago in the Klita department, helping new immigrants get settled in Svat, finding their way, getting connected. So I have a strong history of community work in my 11 years in Svat. Originally, I'm from Texas, but I've been in Israel for 22 years now. And normally during times of peace, Clara and I are taking care of some of the underserved populations. So I spent 4 years as a single mom, and we do a lot of support for single moms, also elderly and disabled, especially among Olim immigrants who came to Israel without any family. They don't have any anyone to lean on, anyone to come and visit them, check in on them. So we adopt them. And we have a wonderful connection and a wide volunteer network. And at the start of the war, we started seeing like other things pop up. You know, as we're going around to the homes of elderly, we see that they don't have water bottles for during the times of emergency because it's too heavy for them, or some couldn't hear sirens. And so we got smartwatches that vibrate. And just here and there, you know, we pick up on what the needs are in the community and do our best to fill them. Now, Svat has a very low, well, Svat has a really low socioeconomic rating. We're a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. And it means that there's only so much that our local municipality can do. And a lot of projects come from the community. So at the start of the war, and when the rockets really, you know, began in the north and the sirens and all that, I noticed that my son, my 4-year-old at the time son, was in a preschool without a shelter. And it's like this caravan material, these trailers that have paper thin walls and a super thin metal roof. And the Homefront Command actually told the preschools in these kind of buildings that these buildings are so dangerous that the kids are better off going outside, laying on the ground and covering their heads during sirens.
Incredible. Incredible.
So this was as we were heading towards winter. And, you know, we tried reaching out to everybody that we could, to our city, of course, and I called the Knesset. They referred me to Pikud HaOrev, to Homefront Command, and I called them, and they said, no, your municipality is the one you need to be in touch with. And I was just sent in this loop for months. And finally, Clara and I said, you know what? If nobody else is doing this, we're just going to do it. And it was a huge thing to even think about. We thought, okay, maybe we can get like one or two. And our first one was actually for kids with special needs that had been evacuated from their preschool. So we were able to get them back in their familiar environment, which is really important. It was a classroom of kids with autism. And they were able to just function a little bit more normally in their home, you know, their home away from home. And little by little, we brought another and another and got in touch with the Jewish Federation in Palm Beach, and they were very helpful. And then someone suggested that I contact you. I think it was Adam Eliyahu.
Right.
And and so now here we are, 20 shelters later in the north, Svat and Chatzor combined. And the needs are still there, though. So unfortunately, well,
with the needs being there, I mean, first of all, I'm so grateful for this partnership. I always tell everybody, Shayna is really our eyes and ears in SWAT. You're really able to understand what the needs are and have solutions for how to meet those needs, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Now things do change, and we're getting updates from you. We get photos from you. I was telling literally somebody on a call, jumped off a meeting right now, with somebody in Washington, D.C., and I was telling her about our upcoming conversation. And I said, you know, we sometimes get these videos from Shayna. This is what's going on in my backyard right now. You know, this is, you know, literally that personal. Obviously, we're also getting information about things that are happening, you know, beyond your backyard. But I really do appreciate that. What's happening in your backyard? What's been happening in your backyard over the last few days? What's happening there today? What are your thoughts?
Wow. So normally we really love having our panoramic view of the Golan and Galil. And lately, unfortunately, it's been bespeckled with rockets being intercepted in the sky and forest fires breaking out on the ground. And just in these last couple of days, actually, right next to that 20th shelter that you helped us put in just 2 weeks ago, maybe. There was a piece of interceptor, like parts of rockets, you know, that were intercepted that fell just underneath there and started a huge forest fire. Thankfully, the kids had just gone home, had been dismissed for the day 30 minutes before. But there was a huge fire raging. And again, these are classrooms of 3 and 4 year olds, and they're in these flimsy little structures. They have no protection and nowhere to run to. And I saw the some of the teachers from the school yesterday, and they were just saying how grateful they are and what a relief it is to know that shelter is there. And it's every shelter is not just physical protection. It's emotional relief. It's mental calm, you know, for the kids, for the parents, for the teachers. It's so essential.
Right. Right now, when we were talking earlier, you were mentioning that the schools are closed today. Things have really heated up in the last 72 hours. Schools have also closed, not just only in Svat, but also in Tiberias and Haifa and other places. The north is really, you know, things are escalating. Talk to me about how you see this all unfolding. What happens next?
Well, that's part of the challenge, is there's so much uncertainty and we have no idea what's going to happen next. I mean, we've been going through rockets for pretty much the last year now, almost. And at any moment, you know, things could die back down and, okay, de-escalation, and maybe somebody in one country or another steps in and maybe we go back to how we were a week ago, where just, you know, here and there we get a few rockets and life goes on. Or it could be like, you know, the Radwan forces invade and it's Armageddon and the end of the world and Mashiach's going to come. You know, like it could really, could really go either way at this point. Wow. You know, we love that second end result. It's just the process to get there won't be so pleasant.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah. One thing is for sure, in both scenarios or in all scenarios, it's not kind of just, you know, calm, normal, whatever. It's really it requires. I'm going to bring it back to the personal. It takes. You know, here you are. You're a mom. You're an activist. Clearly, trying to figure out how to navigate your day and how to make plans becomes all the more challenging. You know, in terms of, as you say, school. Yes, no. Is there? And even if there is, do you send your kids? Do you not send your kids? There's only 24 hours in a day, and you got to sleep at least a couple of them. So the question is, where do you put your energy, where there are so many needs? And these are incredible challenges, I would imagine.
They are. I think I slept about 2 of my 24 hours last night.
Yeah.
And There is just so much to do. I went late last night after Shabbat to the emergency headquarters for the municipality, you know, taking in the situational assessment and seeing what's going on. I put out all the news updates in English to the English-speaking community here in Tzfat. And also because of my involvement with the shelters, so like the mayor actually called on me for a question at one point during the educational part of the meeting. And one of the things that came up was, okay, so there are different color ratings on the scale of, you know, safe to dangerous for Homefront Command. And we were green last week, and then we moved up to yellow. And in that case, you know, yellow means you can still, you know, be active, but with some limitations. And then we moved up to orange. So in between, yellow is where kids can still go to school as long as there is a shelter within reach in the allotted amount of time. Now, for Tzfat, we only get 30 seconds. And it's not a long time to reach a proper shelter. And we also have additional challenges that Tzfat is 46% children under the age of 18. Wow. So we have enormous growth. And every year, they need more and more and more classrooms. And the building, you know, it takes time and has not been able to keep up with the natural growth of the city. And so we have many, many schools in these like light construction and trailer buildings. And there are still 15 preschools and daycares that are not fully protected. And so one of the deliberations that the, you know, the city officials and the army and everyone there was trying to determine is, can we actually still open our schools when we're yellow? And one of the problems is, well, so many teachers have children in preschools and daycares that are not properly protected, and so they can't go to work. So it's just this domino effect that when without our youngest children having the protection that they need, kids can't learn, the adults can't work, the whole economy comes to a halt. And so it's really essential, beyond even the physical and emotional and all the other benefits that we just talked about, the economic health of a city that's already in dire straits. You know, already we were not high on the wealth scale. And then our main industry here is tourism. And of course, mm-hmm. that's taken a huge hit during the war. And so the little bit of work that's available still, even that is taken away when parents can't get out to work because schools are closed, because there's no one to take care of the kids of the teachers.
Everything you just described really fills out the picture so that we can understand the different dimensions that are involved in keeping people safe, physically, emotionally, spiritually, but also the economic implications. And that obviously has, I would imagine, socioeconomic factors as well. If people aren't working, how does that affect the social dynamics in a family, in a community? So you've really laid it out for us extremely well. I'm going to leave it there, Shayna, and we're going to get this message out and share it widely so that people can really hear from someone in Tzfat, in the Galilee, being able to tell us today on this Sunday, the 22nd of September, what's going on. So thank you very, very much. Stay well, stay safe.
Amplifying our voice. Need it.